This episode is sponsored by Jacobson Real Estate Company. Are you ready to find your dream home? Or maybe you're thinking about selling and want the best deal possible? Well, look no further. At Jacobson Real Estate Company, we make buying or selling your home smooth, stress-free, and exciting. With 50-plus years of experience and a deep knowledge of the Winona, Minnesota area market, we specialize in turning your real estate goals into reality. Whether it's finding that perfect neighborhood, negotiating top dollar for your property, or answering all of your questions along the way, we're here for you. Plus, with our personalized approach, you're not just a client, you're family. So why wait? Let Jacobson Real Estate Company open the door to your future. Call us today at 507-313-2716 or visit our website at jacobsonrealestatecompany.com. Because your next chapter starts here. Buy, sell, invest. Jacobson Real Estate Company. Welcome to this week's edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson. And today I have a guest with me who I have met through the professional wrestling scene. He goes by the name Elvin Gray. But today I'm going to also be interviewing Bryant Dismukes as well. So I don't know what he's going to do. He brought a bat along, so I don't know if I'm getting...
No, you're good, man. You're good.
I'm not getting
good.
Smacked with that
you're
today.
You're good. You're not on the list. You're good.
I'm not on the list.
You're not on the
thanks,
list.
Thanks, Chris Jericho. And you requested Arizona green teas, and I have not had green tea on yet, so yeah. this will be a little something new for us. Yeah. Grab one. We'll crack these bad boys open. They look refreshing.
Yeah, they are really refreshing. Very good for you, too.
All right. Cheers, Bryant. Elvin.
All right. Cheers to you.
Ooh, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I haven't had one. Gosh, I haven't had an Arizona in, oh my gosh, I don't even know how long. Yeah. And you know what? The funny thing is they're like all about the same price as they used to be when I was a child.
Yeah.
So
that's the one thing I love about the Arizona company. They never change the pricing on the customer.
That's
so
nice of them.
Big shout out to the Arizona company.
Well, man, I mean, you and me, we go back, I would say close to a decade-ish.
Yeah.
Decade-ish.
Just about.
From wrestling.
Yeah.
And the first time I remember meeting you, I think, was at a Champions show.
Yep.
And you came from Chicago, if I remember right, back then.
Yes.
So now you actually live here in Winona.
Yes, I do.
And that is about 4.5 hours away from your hometown.
Yes.
And, man, how'd you get to Winona from Chicago, I guess? Did you just come here for the wrestling shows? You're like, damn, I like this place.
Nah, honestly, it was love that brought me here, man.
Love. Yeah. Oh, man.
I met my wife at the Black Horse Bar and Grill at my first show out of state of Chicago. And I told her, this is the craziest thing. I told her I'd chat with her after the show, and then sure enough, after the show, she was gone. And I was like, I kind of screwed up there. But she was a little bit younger at the time, so curfew and such. So I understood that completely. But, you know, years later, after doing a lot of work in Illinois, we kept in touch. We texted each other from day in and day out, sometimes week to week, sometimes month to month, just to check up on each other. We'd also be on Facebook, you know,
sure,
liking stuff and everything, liking each other's posts and everything. And shortly after, when COVID hit, everything kind of slowed down, a lot of momentum, and I was kind of slowing down my own momentum with some bad decision making.
Okay.
And we ended up staying with her parents in Lake Station during quarantine time. So that gave us a lot of time for us to get to know each other.
Sure, yeah.
A lot of time for me to get to know her family as well, to get to know what kind of person, what kind of person she is in a little deeper detail with family. And a little bit after that, we decided to move up to Winona. She tried staying with me in Chicago. I'm gonna tell you right now, Chicago is not the place to raise a family, especially the kind of family I'm trying to raise. You dig?
All right, man. Well, that's honesty right there.
You're straight honest. I love my hometown. I miss the food. I miss the homies out there. I miss the wrestling scene out there, too. But, yeah, as far as me, you know, getting a better state of mind as well as being the best human being, the best father, the best son, the best husband I can be to everybody outside of my tribe, you know, I had to move. I had to leave.
Sure.
You know? So Yeah, that's what brought me. What brought me to Winona was love, man.
Well, yeah. So you said you miss a lot of things, which is your buddies, I assume, and family. But you said food.
Yeah.
What's different there than Winona?
Well, first of all, y'all don't have a Harold's Chicken Shack, man.
A Harold's Chicken Shack.
Harold's Chicken Shack.
Oh, Harold. It's like hairless.
Nah, not hairless. I'm hairless. Yeah, you dig? I'm hairless. But nah. Harold's Chicken Shack is like one of the staples of Chicago cuisine.
Okay.
One of the best chicken joints. It don't come like KFC don't come close, and neither. I love my Black Horse Bar and Grill wings, but I'm sorry, y'all don't. That's home, man. I love y'all, but that's home. another place that's great is Portillo's. Portillo's is mainly just hot dogs, but They do a variety of food there as well.
Well, they have the Chicago dog, right? That's a thing.
The Chicago dog is the number one. No ketchup. I don't care who you are.
You can't have ketchup on it?
No, it's against the law in Chicago to put ketchup on a dog.
Oh, my gosh.
That is sin where I come from. All right. That's when I got to use the bat. If I catch you using ketchup on a hot dog, I got to use the bat. But, Portillo's, Harold's, and... I'm trying to think of another one. I want to say Uncle Remus. Uncle Remus is another staple. It's a little bit smaller of a staple compared to Harold's, but it's just about up there with it.
Sure. Yeah, I've been to Chicago a few times. I used to take class trips there with the students I used to teach, and we would do some things. One of my favorite things is going to the planetarium. Yeah. I know it's kind of a museum type thing, so we never really got to the heart of Chicago. However, I would let them stroll the shopping strip, whatever that's called. I know there was a Jordan store there and stuff like that. So kids went just nuts when we would go down there. Yeah. But they couldn't afford anything. But they were like, this is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's always good to look at stuff when it's like nice and bright behind bright lights and stuff like
that. Exactly.
Especially in the downtown scenery. Yeah.
Now, you said you met your wife through wrestling shows. And I know who your wife is because I was her first love for wrestling. That's right, Jamaica. I said it. I was your first love for wrestling. Then you took over. I tagged you in, and then you took over from there, man.
My man said he tagged me in. That's
I tagged you in, and now you guys have a family.
Yes, we
you
do.
You live here, so it is like one big came to fruition. Yeah. I remember she loved wrestling when I first moved back here, and then you guys met at a show, and then you guys kept in contact, and now you have a child and everything. I mean, it's crazy,
it's
man.
Crazy
and you said love brought you here.
Yeah.
So now you love Winona.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I really do. It's quiet. It's peaceful. You know, the nature kind of like takes away from that rat race kind of mentality that I had in Chicago. But as they say, you can take the man out the hood, but you can't take the hood out the man. And I don't mean that by, you know, gang banging and stuff. I wasn't doing none of that. It's just with my mentality, you know, in order to get ahead, you had to get yours. You had to work hard, you know, get your hands dirty, roll up your sleeve, get your hands dirty. So I never shied away from any kind of work. Like my wife would tell you, I've been job to job trying to, like, you know, make sure that I had some money in my pocket so I could pay the little, you know, what Austin says, the little gimmicks in the mail called bills.
Those things come every month.
Yeah, absolutely. Nonstop. Treacherous. It's treacherous. Anyway, I worked a lot of different jobs just to keep money in my pocket, and I've actually picked up a lot of trades through those jobs that's gotten me to a very great opportunity here just recently. So it's very, very great to be, you know, in a very safe, quiet, full of nature, full of great people, interesting people, by the way. You know, you never know what you're going to walk to as far as your walks of life here in Winona.
Yeah. And I think it's a really safe community too. I think everyone embraces everybody. I've in my personal opinion, I've lived here, so maybe I'm a little biased. I feel like Winona embraces everyone in a lot of different cultures, even though it's a lot of Polish heritage in this town. I mean, we have the Polish Museum, but we have a lot of different walks of life that come here. And a question I have for you is, you moved here from Chicago. Did any family members, anyone move here with you at all? Or did you just come by yourself and say, here I am?
At first, it was me for about a year or two. And then my mom and my wife surprised me by bringing my mom out this way.
Okay.
And I honestly am glad that she moved out here because Illinois wasn't wasn't doing too good with her either, especially after my sister died. God rest my soul. God rest my sister's soul. I really think that the change of scenery was needed for both of us, essentially, because, you know, trying to make it in a city like Chicago, it's hard, you know. Trying to make ends meet with the high tax rates and the necessary taxes, you know what I'm saying? And you know, it was just too much.
Sure.
For the both of us. So my mom was like the only person that I got this way. I'm trying to get the homies out here, but they love the city too much.
Sure.
You know, and I can't knock them for that. Like I said, Chicago is home.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm glad that I got my mom and only my mom out this way.
Now, you said, God rest your sister's soul.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to your sister then?
My sister died of suicide a few years ago.
Okay.
That would have been the other one that I really, really would have wished that I got my hands on to get her out this way. Because it's a whole nother side of life, man. And she was going down a very dark road. And I was trying to do as much as I can on my side as a big brother to kind of, like, you know, help her out as far as her mental state, as far as her living situation. But I guess I was a tad bit too late.
And sure.
Yeah.
Do you think it was a part of the society she was part of? If she would have maybe moved here, do you think things could have been different?
Absolutely. Or? Absolutely. Yeah. I think where she was at in her life, it wasn't where she needed to be. And that's just me speaking real. I feel like if I had her here and she'd have been surrounded by, you know, like I said, nature, the peace, the quiet, especially at the parks and such, you know, I really, really think that really would have changed her mindset so much, just like how it's changed my mindset.
Sure.
So, yeah, I really think if I would have had her, had my hands on her and brought her this way, she'd still be here with us in sure. a way.
Was she older than you or younger than you?
She was 4 years younger than me.
4 years younger
yes,
than you.
Yeah, so July 12th, she would have been 30 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now I want to go back to the wrestling thing. You said, you know, I think I met you close to 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how old were you on your first match?
Okay, so I've been wrestling for 10 years. I'm 34. So I started when I was 24 years old.
Okay.
Which was a little late, but at the same time, you know, it was something I've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know, as like 5, maybe 6 years old, seeing Austin on one screen and you see Sting on the other. It was like seeing two larger than life characters, you know, just doing the best and being the best rebels that they can be at their game, you know. Big shout out to Sting and Steve Austin. But those two guys really inspired me to be like, man, I really, like, when I was at 5, I was like, I really want to do that. Do I really want to do that? But then when I like got of age to probably like around like 8, 9, maybe 10, I was like, yeah, I want to do that. This is what I want to do. Especially seeing Piper in action coming up too. Like that really helped give me the attitude that I wanted them to be like, yeah, this is something I've always wanted to do. So I reached out to, some friends of mine actually went out to a show on the Northwest side for Wrestle League at the time. We were sitting third row, and I remember goosebumps the entire show, having goosebumps all up by my arm. And I told my buddy, I'm sitting next to him, I'm like, man, I think we could do this. Like, if they're training, we should do this. Like, so all four, like, well, not all four of us, but three of the four of us out of the group, we were like, well, yeah, we'll do it. And eventually, their little sister got involved, Liz. So it was myself, Matthew, his brother Eddie, his little sister, their little sister Liz, and Eddie's girlfriend at the time, Alexis. So it was a bunch of us that jumped in the ring and just started training immediately after that show had transpired. And then after that, it just took off for me.
And that was in Chicago?
Yes.
And then who was your first training under then?
So I was training under Luis the Wrench Morales, and he's very lucky I'm even mentioning his name on this podcast right now. But anyway,
there must be some bad blood. Or?
We'll just leave it at that.
All right, we'll leave it at that.
You got one out of me, and that's probably your last one up out of me anyway. But yeah, I was training under him, Billy the Tiger for some point, Chris Massenkai, who was also a good teacher.
Yes, I remember him.
Yes.
Gosh, because that's who brought you up for, I think, the show at Galesville.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it was that gentleman there. And then after a short while, we kind of conjoined schools with another class. So then Warwick Stevens was actually training me as well too, who's still actually active in the indies as well. So I've learned a whole lot from Billy. I learned a lot about my grit, for sure. That guy put us through a lot of ringers. From Madison Kai, I learned how to just, you know, keep things different, keep things interesting, not to keep my wrestling, how every wrestler says they got their little book of rhymes or their book of moves that they have mentally. You know, it's always good to switch it up. And then from Warwick, it was just the psychology. I learned so much. Even today, I'm still learning so much from Warwick every time we're sharing a locker room, you know. So yeah, I had like four good teachers.
Sure. Yeah, I remember you guys came up. It was a fun time. I mean, it was a brand new type of show. So now I know it's kind of taken on its own world of its own. So your favorite wrestlers growing up were Sting and Stone Cold, huh?
Yes, and Roddy Piper.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
See, now, yeah, I grew up and Stone Cold was my favorite. I didn't watch WCW much. At first I did because I didn't know anything. I didn't know what the heck wrestling was much at that point. I was like, oh, Hulk Hogan, cool. Saw him on the other show, and then all of a sudden I turned over to WWF, and I was like, well, this is way better. Oh, yeah. This is way more badass. And Stone Cold was my guy. Him and The Rock had their feud. That was fun as well. And then throughout there, the kind of John Cena's picked up the slack after those guys kind of went out their ways, and is now he's on his way out the door too. Oh, yeah. So, but that was where my first love of wrestling came from, was about 97/98.
Those were the years of good.
Those were the good years. Yes, sir.
Everybody's getting suspended for doing the DX chop. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Suck it.
Right.
Tell the teacher, suck it.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Dude, I can't believe people got away with that, too.
I swear, man. And what's crazy is the guys that got us suspended are now running the show. That's the crazy thing,
That's true, yes. Triple H, and then I know Shawn Michaels is, like, part of it. Isn't, like, Road Dogg behind the scenes
So Triple H's content creator, head content creator now, Sean is running the developmental program, which is NXT, and Road Dogg he's a part of the creative team as well too. So that place is like, literally, they said they were taking over.
They did. Yes. That's what you gotta do. You gotta marry the daughter of the owner. That's the easiest
marry
way.
The daughter, that's the first step. Yeah.
Now I want to go off of your love of professional wrestling and your character, because you go by Elvin Gray.
Yes.
So how did that come about?
Because
I can tell you how Chris Steele came about. It was a terrible name. That's how it came about.
No, I think Chris Steele is actually a dumb name, bro.
It's so lame. Everyone's the real deal something Steele. I thought I was being creative when I first did it. I had no idea.
Chris Steele, that rolls off the tongue pretty good.
I mean,
good.
It does roll off the tongue, but everybody's the real something.
Yeah.
So then when I became a heel, I went by The Deal, because then I'm like, oh, real estate, I can play off of that.
Yeah,
you know?
You can play off of that. So the character Alvin Gray came about, I'm gonna just shoot shit and just tell you the truth. All right. So
that's what we want. The truth.
Yeah. I'm literally sitting at home after like my first, maybe second day of training. Yep. And I'm just writing down different names of what I can do, of who I could be. And at one point I wanted to like switch I wanted to keep my first name and take my mother's name, call myself Bryant Johnson. And I was like, no, that is jobber status right there.
BJ.
That too. Like, can you imagine?
God.
You know what? Don't. That's not imagine. Let's not imagine the jokes that would have came.
You could have went to a whole different character on that one.
Jesus Christ. Let's not go down that rabbit hole, man. But there were so many different names. I think I had written down at least 20 to 25 different names on this one sheet of paper. And, you know, it took for me to just sit down, and I was drinking at the time, I had a little glass of whiskey, and I'm just sitting there, and I started stirring it with my finger, like my grandfather, and I stopped, and I looked down, and I was like, that's it. And I used my grandfather's name, because he was the first guy, and I told him I wanted to do professional wrestling. He was my first fan to say, go ahead and do it. You put anything you put your mind on to, man. If you want to be a professional wrestler, you'd be the best damn professional wrestler you can be. So that's why I dedicate my entire career to him, because, like, without him, this would not be a thing.
Sure. So Alvin is his first name?
Alvin is his first name. Gray is also his last name.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's just, it's an homage to your grandpa.
Yes.
That's
yes,
cool then. That makes sense, because I had no idea. I'm like, wow, how did you, I've never even asked you that question.
Yeah.
Alvin Gray. Okay. Yeah. So what do you consider then, what is your overall gimmick then?
Your local, yeah, basically your local neighborhood homie. You know, let me break it down for the people at home that don't understand my ebonics. All right, when I say homie, that means friend. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I'm not trying to get sued by Marvel or none of them like that. So Alvin Gray is basically, you know, the guy that looks out for the average homie. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
He doesn't like bullies. Doesn't like, you know, nonsense. Doesn't like people thinking they're better than other people. You know, he sees everybody as an even level playing field. You know what I'm saying? He helps try to keep the order within the wrestling world. So he's kind of like right off the handle, like Stone Cold. So if he sees some shenanigans, oh yeah, he's ready to snap. He's ready to fight. But when he sees the little homies, that means little kids.
All right.
When he sees the little homies, he's got to be a hero, especially with John Cena running around being all diabolical and stuff these days. You know, I've had a lot more kids come my way ever since John Cena went heel. So now I gotta be a little bit more, you know, kid friendly these days. So
sure.
I kind of keep the swearing to a minimum. So if I'm sorry to the parents out there that have kids that are fans of me, if you catch me swearing once or twice outside the ring, I apologize. It's in the heat of the moment. Imagine you getting hit in the face. Wouldn't you cuss? Wouldn't you cuss?
Oh, shit. Hell yeah.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly. So, it's a small hint of Austin. And then you get a little small blue bits of Roddy Piper and some Dusty in there. So, you know, the Dusty is that huge belief. Yes, absolutely. All right. Catching on.
The bat.
Yes, the bat is an homage to Sting. But as you can see, I had to put my own little spin because, again, we don't want to get sued. No, no, no.
Schmuck smacker.
Yes, yes.
Say that five times fast.
Yeah, man.
Schmuck smacker.
I haven't
3,000.
I can't even say it myself five times fast.
Schmuck
and I haven't ran into anybody that can say it either. But yeah, it's a little bit of everybody that's really encouraged me to, you know, do what I do in wrestling, which is Stone Cold, Sting, Roddy Piper, Eddie Guerrero as well. And like I said, Dusty, when I was watching Dusty and I learned so much about how Dusty Rhodes came up in the business and how, you know, he came up on hard times. It's like I said, Dusty kind of gave me that fighting spirit motivation because a lot of people don't really know how to go the right way about going through hard times. Or actually, you know, like I said before, rolling up your sleeve, getting your hands dirty through hard times. So Dusty kind of inspired that fighting spirit kind of notion within my character as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just, yeah, little bits and pieces.
Well, that's pretty cool. And now, if your grandpa had a finishing move, Alvin Gray, mm-hmm. what would his finisher have been?
Ooh.
To take my belt off and whoop your ass?
Probably that. Yeah.
That's
Grandpa
great.
Al ain't playing no mess, man. He ain't playing no mess when it came down to family, when it came down to right or wrong. Yeah. I would have he'd be quick. Like granddad off of Boondocks. He ready to whoop ass, you feel me?
That's great. Now, another question I have about the whole wrestling. What is your finisher then specifically? What do you call it?
So I have two. The first one is basically like the RKO or a diamond cutter.
Sure.
Rather. I still am working on names for them. So we're just going to call them by their original name. So we'll just call them a diamond cutter. I'm thinking of calling it the Schmuck KO.
Schmuck KO?
Yeah.
The SKO?
The SKO instead of the RKO.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The stunner is my secondary finish. Again, homage to Stone Cold Steve Austin. I still want to ask for his blessing to use that, but I feel like he ain't going to see that message, man, because I'm like them one in a billion fans that he got asking for his blessing. I'm probably one of the like very 100,000 like indie wrestlers that's trying to get, you know, permission to use his finish. So, I mean, if this gets out there to Austin, bro, please, man. You literally inspired me to do what I do for the kids and for myself. So
should I tag Stone Cold in this?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Absolutely.
Are you a face then?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Yes, I am.
I am too, and I always have really been. And here's one thing. When I was down in Georgia, they're like, I tried to be bad guy for everyone else listening. Mm-hmm. And they're like, man, you just got too like pretty of a face and of a smile. You can't be a heel. You're just not believable enough. And I'm like, let me just try it. And you know, of course, they were right. I'm like, it's a little hard. Yeah. And then I did it too at RCCW a little bit when I had Justin or Jay Edwards as my right hand man. But then when I turned on him after he kept screwing me over by accident, then that I got everyone back on my side. And I haven't seen much of the pro wrestling circuit lately. But so you're still. When was your last match? Just recently?
My last match was almost 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
2 weeks ago? Yeah. Okay. When you got there, what's your next one coming up?
The next one, I was going to be at Winterfest, but I have a very important tattoo date coming up.
Winterfest?
Yes. So
in the summer?
Yes. So there's a town.
Okay, that's interesting.
So Winter, Wisconsin, they actually hold down a festival called Winterfest.
Oh, cool. So okay, there you go.
It's not a winter festival for anybody thinking that. Like, we're done with that. I'm over the winter.
Hell,
honestly.
Yeah, get over winter. That sucks.
Shit. But yeah, Winter, Wisconsin holds down Winterfest, and it is a great, great. It's just as good as Steamboat Days, and just as good as the Riverfest as well.
Sure.
But a lot of people that are local in Winterfest, they come out, they show support to all the local businesses. The kids come out and have a great time. They come and watch wrestling as well. We were there last year, and we had a great turnout with Winter, Wisconsin. So big shout out to River City Championship Wrestling. Best of luck to you guys on the 7th as well as the 8th. I believe they're hitting up another city on the 8th. The 4th and the 5th. I'm sorry. They're going to be in Winter, Wisconsin on the 7th. And I believe it's Black River Falls on the 5th.
Sure.
Yeah. So big shout out to the locker room as well as the staff of RCCW. For sure. I will be on their next show, though. But this show in particular, I got some ink that I need to get done. That's very important to me, and I don't want to catch staph infection. So.
All right, that's a safe idea to do. Now, does your family like what you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
My mom, she was a little different about it because of the amount of course, with our kind of work, it comes with a lot of pain, and she doesn't want to see a son in that much pain.
Of course.
And like even to this day, she's like on the road. She's like, how long you think you're gonna keep doing this? Like, you've been doing this 10 years, you know, and you got a daughter now. And I'm like, Mom, I know when my body is going to tell me, yo, you better not do this again. But, you know, like, my mom is one of my biggest supporters. My wife as well. She loves watching me perform. I really cannot wait to I really can't wait to see my daughter's reaction when she knows her dad's a wrestler. That's the one I'm really waiting on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
does she come to shows yet?
No, she hasn't been to one yet.
Okay.
We're still nervous about taking her in a big, you know, loud setting like that.
Sure.
We got the earmuffs ready to go, but like us being parents and trying to take things safe and, you know, keeping her safe, it's really, really nerve-wracking for us to just think about and having her there in that kind of space quite yet. So we're still kind of like taking that baby steps, no pun intended, at a time.
How old is she?
So she's 7.5 months now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man, she's not much older than my daughter then.
Yeah, she's...
My daughter just turned a month tomorrow. Well, of this recording date tomorrow.
Good.
But, so it should be a month.
New dad.
New dad, man. It's going, man.
Oh, yeah.
3 hours of sleep at a time. It's going.
Yeah, those first few months, like once you guys figure out a schedule, not to tip away and start talking about father advice, but you know, yeah, like, you know, as long as you guys like start to figure out a schedule, as far as like a sleeping schedule, a feeding schedule, this, that, a changing schedule. I know the first few months I was writing things down as far as like what time she pooped, what time she ate, what time we changed her, things of that nature. We took her temperature so often just to make sure she wasn't hatching any fever. Like, I was building a lot of worry for myself, but it, at the same time, it's given me and my wife and the family a peace of mind to know that we got a healthy baby at home.
Yeah.
So, once you guys figure out a schedule, the sleep schedule start coming back to normal. Slowly but surely.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, I want to go outside of wrestling because I'm sure you got other loves other than wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
What are some other things that has Bryant or Elvin Gray? What is he excited about other than just wrestling?
Oh man, music for one. I'm big on hip hop.
Ooh, hip hop. Now we can talk.
Yeah.
Your hip hop might be a different era than mine, just because I'm 37 and.
Dog. Okay.
Well, no.
Let's see.
You're not that much younger than me.
Nah, we kind of in the All same right. era. The Nas, Jay-Z mm-hmm. era, the somewhat Tupac, Biggie era. Method Man, Red Man.
I'm a too short guy.
You're too short guy?
Too short, Devin the Dude.
Yeah, too short is the man. That's the OG right there.
He just came up with a new album, too.
Two months ago. I didn't know about that. And I usually keep my ear close to the ground with new hip hop news.
Well, you better keep it closer because now I know.
Hell yeah.
It's got some old school feel to it, too. That's why I'm like, there's about four songs in there I really like. And, they're pretty good. They're kind of old school because he was kind of getting to some like party stuff. Yeah. You know, he had Blow the Whistle. Everyone knows Blow the Whistle, I think. Okay. That was probably his biggest song he's ever had just because they played in clubs, and that was back in 06. But then he kept doing all these kind of like club hit songs. I hate that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the old school stuff. But I know he's trying to sell, you know, make money.
Yeah,
so
just like any artist, they're trying to stick with the times just to keep up and make money, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I assume over in Chicago, you must have had plenty of concerts to go to.
Oh, man. To be honest with you, I've only been to one really good one with the homies back in the day, and it was Warp. I think it was Warp Tour. And it was like,
is that the Vans tour?
Yeah, man.
No kidding.
Yeah, I went to one of those. I like rock and roll as well too, as well as metal. We saw a lot of dope bands there, and I got to see Avenged Sevenfold live, and I love me some Avenged Sevenfold.
I've heard other people say that about them.
Mm-hmm.
So, Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah.
Okay.
You would never would have thought this guy right here.
Well, now when you started naming off Jay-Z, Method Man, and also Avenged Sevenfold Warp Tour.
I'm big on music. The one thing I can say that I can thank my dad for is having an ear for good music. So, I have a wide variety of music that I like. Not just hip hop. I mean, that's one of my big tickets. But rock and roll. Metal, alternative. I used to be in a rock band with the homies as well.
You were in a rock band too?
Yeah.
Sweet.
I played with some rhythm guitar, some backup vocals with my boys back in the day, Page 47. I ain't forget. but yeah, I used to listen to a lot of bands, Metallica, Anthrax, The Offspring. Man, it's so many. There's so many.
This is what's great about the podcast. You get to learn so many different things.
Yeah.
Because I got a whole genre of music. If you looked at all of my songs, you go, what the hell is this? You go from rap to boy band to John Mayer to Engelbert Humperdinck and Elvis, and you're like, what the hell is
this? That's how it is in my car, too. It's like, well, the mood will switch so quick. One minute, we'll be listening to, like you said, we'll be listening to like Eminem's, you know, Death of Slim Shady album. Next thing you know, Sinatra comes out of nowhere.
That's okay. That's okay.
You feel me?
Well, I bring a speaker with me to my softball games, and then I never really create playlists. I just put everything on shuffle. So I have like 8,800 songs on shuffle.
Oh, yeah.
So one this past week, I had something. I think Lil Troy, Wanna Be a Baller was on. And then I came back into the dugout after playing out in the field. All of a sudden, I heard Mamma Mia going. I'm like, oh, God. Someone's like, whose is this? I go, that's my wife's favorite soundtrack, musical. So it was, it was the ABBA song. It was I Have a Dream, which is also, I think, an ABBA song.
Yeah.
I have a dream.
Yeah, I remember that one.
A song to sing. That was playing when we came back. Like, what is this? Jesus.
I'm telling you, the mood changes. When you got a wide ear of music,
I know.
The mood will change in the car to make people be like, what the hell did I get into the car with? You know what I'm saying? But it's good to have a good, you know, a wide ear for music.
I agree.
If you stick to one genre, man, you're going to bore your people in the car at some point. And at some point in your life, you're going to bore yourself, too, because you're like, man, I need something new. Like, I think this week in, like, 3 years was the first time I said to myself, man, I need some new music. You know, because you only can listen to, like, 2000s, 2010s hip-hop for so long. And
yes.
You still, you know, you're getting used to hearing all these new artists that are great, like J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar, T. Grizzly, and 21 Savage. There's so many good artists out there. So you got them. You got the old artists that's making new music, like Snoop, and like you said, Too Short. Eclipse is also making a new album that's gonna be coming out real soon. Yeah, it's a lot of good music out here. But at the same time, you always want to make that variety an option, a big option for you, so you don't bore yourself when it comes to that music.
Well, sometimes when I get in the car, I'm not in the mood to listen to something that's going to take a lot of energy to listen to. So, like, metal, you'll never probably hear me put that on, or hard rock.
Yeah.
But rap, yep. But even then, I'm like, this is, like, workout music. And then when I get in the car, I don't want to – usually I don't want to listen to that. Maybe sometimes. But then it's – and then it goes over to artists that, like, your wife likes, which is Jake Miller.
Yeah.
Which is one of my favorites.
He's one of my favorites, too, actually.
He's good. He's, like – I don't know what it is. It's a little bit of hip hop rap-ish, but then it's a little bit of like boy bandish feels, and I like the combo.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I was supposed to go to that. I was supposed to go to that concert. I think your wife and you went to it, or in the cities like during. I want to say it was like fall of 2020 or 2021, and you had to have a COVID shot and all that kind of stuff in order to go and all that, or you had to have paperwork, and I didn't have any of that, and my wife had backstage passes for me to go meet and greet. And we had to get a refund on all that.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
The next time he's around, I'm going.
Oh, man. I think my wife and I, we're going to take a trip to Chicago to actually see him in October.
Yeah, that's what my wife said. He's coming again in October. She almost got me tickets for Father's Day.
Yeah.
But she's like, I didn't know. We got a newborn here. It's like, I'm like, yeah, just another time you get a babysitter because you're going to stay overnight.
Oh, yeah. So, if you do a trip in Chicago to see Jake Miller, that's an overnight for sure.
Yeah. I went there to see Westlife a couple of years ago. I don't know if you know who Westlife is. They're an Irish boy band.
Oh, no.
Anyways, they came to the Chicago Theater during March, right around St. Patrick's Day, because they're Irish. So it made sense, and fantastic show. And my buddy who was on here, he's like, that was one of my top five concerts I've ever been to. And we grew up listening to them because they've been around since 1998.
Hell yeah.
So they're still cooking.
That's dope.
Man. So what else do you do? Video games, I assume?
Oh, hell yeah. I'm very big into gaming.
Perfect.
Not as big as I want to be. I've actually wanted to give back on Twitch so much. But, you know, being a dad and this new job and wrestling, I'm trying to find that balance.
There's only so much time in a day.
Yeah, man. That as well as, you know, training. Gym training as well. I'm just trying to find that balance in between so I can have that time. And I'm starting to get it a little bit. But gaming is really something I've been big on that since I was a kid, man.
What is Twitch? I don't even know. I've heard Twitch, but I don't know what it means.
So Twitch is basically a streaming service where most people stream like their gaming experience to their audience. Some people do like cooking or like acting or whatever their niche is.
Oh, so there's more than just
gaming there in that world. Oh, at least that I know of now.
Okay,
which is pretty cool. Everybody can show off whatever hidden talents they can to you know entertain the masses. But
you have to pay a subscription, I assume.
Oh yeah,
it's like OnlyFans kind of. You got to pay in order to watch this person do something.
Well, yeah, people do have that option. I'm not at that level yet, but once I do get to that level, there will be people that have to, you know, subscribe to see the content of what I'm doing or to use like certain emojis or things like that. I haven't really dived into like getting my own emojis quite yet. I got some artwork done to kind of like get the page back together and get the page up and running. But as far as like the content, I've been very minimal on it because, like I said, again, being a dad, working, training, and you know just life in general, there's only so many hours in a day,
right?
So I think the main thing right now I'm doing is Grand Theft Auto because I'm waiting for 6 to drop so bad, and then they broke my heart pushing the date back, but they made it right giving us a second trailer. So Rockstar, you're still my favorite game developers ever. I will give you that. You can't beat Namco, but you're still one of my favorite game developers ever. I'm big on GTA. I'm big on Tekken. Tekken, oh my God. Some of the moves I use in the ring are actually
from Tekken?
Yeah. Yeah. So like there's a move that I use called the Rebel's Lightning Screw Punch. It's the lightning screw punch that the Mishimas use, which is the huge uppercut that they use. One of the homies, Adam Love, big shout out to Adam Love. He's like, I'm taking some time away from wrestling, but the next time I see you, you better be shooting lightning out of your fist when you do that uppercut. I'm like, bro, if the powers that be, let me have that. And if science could like bend the rules a little bit, I'd make that a possibility, but I can't.
I don't think it's possible.
There's also another move that I take from Tekken called, it's a jumping power bomb that Heihachi does. Okay. I use that in the ring called the Mishima bomb. But I'm really big on Tekken. Tekken has been like that's the constant game out of my whole life. I've been through every game even like the even the like some of the games where they were like special characters and such in certain things, you know, I played everything that had Tekken on it. So I'm real huge in that game. That's why I'm like begging Namco, if you need another wrestler to be DLC content, look no further than your boy. I'm right here. I know I'm not, you know, I'm not WWE status. I'm trying. I'm not AEW status. I'm trying. Also trying very hard. I'm
trying.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not, you know, Impact nor TNA, sorry. For, you know, trying. You know what I'm saying? But you got an in-game model ready to go, man. Just give me a chance. I'll make y'all some money. Trust and believe.
And you can throw him around real easily because I have.
Easily, bro.
So you put those little balls all over you, they can throw you around.
Man, I had a time of my life and make money off of that.
Oh, man.
Come on, Namco. Holla at your boy. Come on, man.
Man, you know, GTA, that's probably my favorite game of all, if I had to overall. And I remember playing Grand Theft Auto on Windows 95 with my buddy back when it was just this aerial view and 2D and all it was. And now compared to what it's come to, now I'm not a big gamer, even though I have the latest and greatest consoles for whatever reason. I have no idea. But I said once GTA 6 comes out, whatever the latest and greatest console is, I will have that plus GTA 6 just because I think I always think it's a fun game.
It is a great game.
I love that game since... I would say GTA 3 on PlayStation 2 was the first time I really got into it, and then Vice City came out. And then I do have 5 because my little nephew likes to play it and obviously kill hookers and stuff. So when he comes over to Uncle Chris's house, he gets to have some fun.
Yeah. That's fun. Oh, mainly with GTA, I think the bigger love came from San Andreas, that series.
Oh, right, yeah, there. That was a good one too.
Yeah, man. My cousin, funny thing, my cousin Sean, big shout out to Sean. He came over to my house one day, and me, my sister, and him, we stayed up hours playing the damn thing. And we wouldn't even play the story, even though the story was fantastic in San Andreas. But we would just goof around and just have laughs for hours and listen to music and enjoy the music on there. You know, that gave us such a closer bond. And I'm grateful for that even to this day. And right now in 5, what I'm doing is I'm trying to save up enough money and make enough money to fill up my my agency garage. So there's 9 floors. And I'm trying to fill all 9 floors up with cars. Because my sister was really big on customizing cars, so that whole garage is dedicated to her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can't you just steal the cars if you want them?
There are certain kind of cars you can't find in the game that you can't steal.
Oh,
so
really?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Okay, there's so much to the game that I have no idea about.
Yeah, dude, there's some rare cars, rare bikes. There's some cars on there that's no longer even a part of the game anymore that I think are in my garage right now. And they're still dropping new vehicles. I think the last DLC they just dropped yesterday.
What's a DLC?
So a DLC is downloadable content.
Gotcha.
Yes. So they dropped the downloadable content yesterday for a new business, which is, it's all right. And then there's like 2 additional businesses for that business. So right now I'm sitting at like $20 million with like, I want to say about 80 to 75% of the garage almost full. So you can just imagine how many times I've been through the Cayo Perico heist, the Diamond Casino. I'm losing my mind through those heists entirely. I'm saying that openly on this podcast right now. Those 2 heists, especially the Cayo Perico one, doing that by yourself.
If only I knew what you were talking about.
That's why I got to be on Twitch so people know what I'm talking about.
All right, get up back on the Twitch then.
But if you guys are fans of GTA 5 and you play the Cayo Perico heist, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It sucks doing, it sucks doing solo because it is so tough. This dude has a private army. Like, you got to sneak around, and then when you can't sneak around, you got to survive while you're trying to steal everything. You try not to die because if you die, you got to stall basically all the way over.
Can't you just put the cheat code in and have, like, unlimited power?
It's not the same, man.
It's not the same,
It's
okay.
not the same.
I remember back on, like, whatever one it was, GTA 3. You get the unlimited ammo and unlimited guns.
Slain Andreas, yeah, definitely.
I'd have the rocket launchers blowing everything up.
Have a jetpack on standby, a sports car just, like, just spawn right in front of you. Man, those were good times.
I remember. Yeah, I can't wait till 6 comes out. I do. I mean, I'll play it for like maybe an hour once a year, and that's about it. But it's still fun. So if my nephew comes over and he wants to play GTA 6 whenever it comes out, even though it's like another 2 years or whatever it might be, I'm like, I'll get that one just because it's so much fun. But now I want to go over something you had talked about earlier. You were talking about how you kind of came up with your name, Elvin Gray, and you were having whiskey, but you said that you have you're since sober from that. So let's talk about that a little bit here. Were you going down the wrong path, or you just said, hey, I just want to be done with it? And it was just kind of like, or was it a health issue?
This kind of coincides with why I moved here, actually, because I was, like, during COVID, I might get emotional in here. During COVID, wrestling was like already at a halt before COVID was even the thing. And that was more so my fault.
Okay.
I was drinking regularly, like a lot. Like it was to the point where I was down in a fifth of Jack, a little small little pint. Well, not even a fifth. I was down in like a little small pint of Jack, like damn near every other day. And that was no good for my liver. But it got to the point where I lost a lot of opportunity. My mouth, along with the alcohol, kind of took away a lot of opportunity as well. And it got me into some trouble to the point where, if you have not noticed, yes, my face was once upon a time on the Winona mugshots because my dumb ass was drinking while driving one day because I thought, with the weight of the world, I can handle a couple of brewskis before getting home, and sure enough, that's how I got caught up. So when I sat in myself for the night, I literally was thinking to myself, bro, you really screwed up. Like, you, this is literally the opposite of where you should be heading. You know, I had to think about all the mistakes I made just from, you know, me being under the influence of alcohol. And I was like, man, I'm on the verge of losing everything. I'm already losing wrestling. I'm on the verge of losing my wife, probably lost my job, which thankfully at the time I was selling phones at the time, and they were really lenient about it and they were really cool and everything. They just worked with me through the whole process. But it got to the point where when I sat in that cell and I saw myself sitting in that orange little jumpsuit, I was like, bro, you come on, you better than this. I was literally giving myself the pep talk, and then it went from giving myself the pep talk when I got released to bullying myself when I was making my walk of shame home. So I had to face my wife. I had to face my in-laws about my mistake that I made, my last mistake that I made, actually. So I had to get the proper amount of help, the proper support, in which I did. And now I'm almost 4 years sober of alcohol.
So that was the wake-up call.
Yeah.
And I could understand just by the way you laid it all out there, how that would be your wake-up call.
Yeah.
And that's great for you. That's awesome.
Thank you.
That you are now on the path of not only sobriety, but now it leads to your opportunities. You're still in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You have your wife.
Mm-hmm.
You have a child.
Mm-hmm.
So things are going this way.
Mm-hmm.
And that was your wake-up call. And that's great to hear. A good comeback story.
Yes.
You were with your wife at the time then.
Yeah.
You had to go home and make that. Did they even know that you were there?
So, to take you back to that day when I got brought in. First off, I was crying like a little biatch. I remember that because, like, I've never been arrested in my life. I've been in cuffs before, but I've never been, like, processed and stuff like that. So I'm like, I'm already crying. I'm crying because I got, one, because I got caught, and two, I'm like, how the hell am I going to explain this to my mom and my wife? The one mistake that I made was calling Matt Mishler, who was my former boss at the job, when I should have called my wife. I called him, cursing him out, because the job I was working at the time, you know, I was selling phones at the time.
Yeah, he sold me one with my wife.
Yeah. That job was really stressful, and I don't think a lot of people understood the amount of stress that comes working in sales, especially with telecommunications, you know what I'm saying? For me, it was really hard because being the only African-American male working in a cell phone shop, and there's predominantly Caucasian people coming in and they see me, they like, I'm not let's call a spade a spade. There's not going to be too many people that think I'm a trustworthy face, and that's okay. That's them to take that on. But when you got people that come at you about billing stuff after you explained it, or coming at you about stuff that, you know, Verizon screwed up on, not necessarily you because you took the right steps and you double check. Well, I always double check my work before I sold anybody a phone, and if I screwed up, I always took the time to make it right. But that stress alone, bro, on top of, you know, the other stresses of being the perfect man for my wife and doing better with my life, it kind of like turned into this big huge ball that just started weighing on my shoulders, and I thought alcohol was going to be that savior to kind of like relieve some of that. I was totally wrong. That was the wrong way to go about it. And my wife, she was plenty pissed that she wasn't the first to be called when I got taken in, and rightfully so. She had all rights to be pissed off because it was I believe it was Michelle that called her to let her know where I was at, and she called my mom, and I'm pretty sure that's how word got spread that I was in there. And I sat in there and I did my little day to sober up, and yeah, just facing the wife was just as hard as facing my mom when you do something wrong, dude.
Sure, like, sure.
I don't know if you've been in that position before. I don't want you to be in that position.
But I have not been.
Yeah, if you ever be in a position where you know you're screwed up and you gotta face the wife, dude, it is literally the equivalence of letting your mom down, for real.
Sure.
For real. So just going home to face her and having to explain everything, like, that's how I knew. I was like, yeah, you got to clean this up or it's over with.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Well, that, dude, opening up about that, it's pretty tough.
Yeah.
And that's actually, I mean, the podcast is called Brews and Cruise. There's literally a beer on my logo, but mm-hmm. we do so many other things other than that. Like, we're having green tea. We're talking about sobriety.
Yeah.
So I love that everyone wants to come on and tell a story, a background, and stuff like that. But now let's talk about some positive things as we're starting to wind down here. You're in Winona now, and as we just talked about, you're married to the love of your life with your baby, 7 months old. I want to know, you said at the beginning of the podcast that Winona's an awesome place. I want you to tell me, what do you love about Winona so much? Because I grew up here. Mm-hmm. So when I see all the beauty around here, it was just second nature. Because when my wife moved here from Austin, Minnesota, it's pretty flat farmland over there. And she goes, I didn't realize how much beauty was only an hour and 10 minutes away from home. Yeah. With the bluffs and all that, and the river, because we go on the river all the time. What about Winona for you is it makes it an awesome place? Because you said to raise a family, this is a great place.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you one good one, man, that I still keep to heart. Actually, I'm going to be going there next month. I went to Garvin Heights for the first time, right? And I stood at the top. I looked down at the city, and I took a deep breath. And all I said was, this is home now, right? And I looked up, and I said, man, my sister will really love this shit. Because one of the things that my sister and I used to do, We used to smoke weed on the rooftop of our apartment building back on 63rd Street in Illinois. And we would just sit and just talk about life, talk [S2] Sure. [S1] About, you know, how to get over some things in life and all that. So when I went to Garvin, I was so taken aback by the beauty, man. It brought a tear to my eye. I'm not even gonna lie to you. It brought the good tear to my eye. Like, I made it, I got out. So I gave my mom this idea, because we have like a remainder of my sister's ashes. And I was like, we should release my sister's ashes up here, because she would have loved this. She would have loved the beauty. She would have loved the scenery. She would have, this would have taken so much bad out of her just being up here. So every year on my sister's birthday, I go up to Garvin, and my wife, my mom, and I, we do a balloon release. And then after the balloon release, I say a few words to her, basically giving her like a status report about the family, how much we miss her, you know. And I think that's, that's what really makes Winona home for me, man. Cause like, I can spiritually be closer to my sister through Garvin Heights.
Sure.
My mom, my mom says she's at home here because of the people here. And I want to thank the people here personally for treating my mother and I with so much respect. Even if you didn't know us, even if you just see us out on the street, I appreciate your kindness. Because these days, people think that just kindness is just another, just something to tick off the box or just nothing to, like, second to none to do. So Garvin, I want to say just Garvin Heights in general, that's what makes it home.
That's one of the places that when people come here and they've never been here, I say go up to Garvin Heights, check it out. It's really cool because you can basically see the whole landscape of Winona from one area. Yeah. And it looks like an island. And it really is natural beauty around here.
Yes, it is.
Well, is there anything, as we're about to wrap this up, is there anything that people need to know about Bryant or Elvin that they should know about? Or do you want to plug any dates that you're going to be wrestling at some shows? Anything like that before we wrap it up?
Be sure to follow me on TikTok. I do a lot of great pantomime stuff, especially when I'm promoting my next upcoming fights. So any upcoming fights, you'll see them on TikTok. That handle is going to be at RebelAG610. Really funny stuff, really riveting stuff. I'm also on Instagram as well, very so often, under the same handle. Let's see, as far as my next date of fights, I might have to look at my phone.
Pull out the next date of fights.
You know, I'm really exposing my age if I'm busting out the phone.
Well, I'm just glad you don't have any bifocals on. They have to put down some cheaters or something.
Oh no, yeah, that's when it really gets real. If I break out the freaking.
Well, I know you said you have one in what was it, Winterset or
Winterfest?
Winterfest. Yeah.
I won't be at that one, but River City Championship Wrestling, they're okay. Gonna be taking over that one.
So you got an ink date. Date with some ink.
Got a date with some ink. I got to get my daughter's name on me, man. I need that constant reminder.
Yes.
Let's see here.
I have zero ink.
You have
my
zero
wife
ink?
Thinks, my wife I'm thinks surprised. I need some. No, I've never had anything that I wanted on me yet.
Well, I understand. You know, it's a permanent thing.
It is
permanent.
I get it. Kind of. Not anymore so much. Man, you just get erased off me at that point.
Okay. I got one for y'all. So, August 1st. As well as August 2nd will be my next two matches with River City Championship Wrestling. So that gives me a little bit of downtime to get ready to smack the next schmuck that comes my way. You know what I'm saying?
With the schmuck smacker.
With the schmuck smacker.
3,000.
Schmuck smacker!
Well, Bryant, I want to thank you for coming on in today, taking an hour out of your time, talking about many things, your love for wrestling, family, sobriety, opening up. That's amazing to do all that kind of stuff. So I want to thank you one more time for coming on in.
Thank you.
Those who are listening, as the screen says behind us, like, share, subscribe, 5-star. Maybe comment on something that was interesting that you found funny about this, or maybe something you gained from this. You can watch it on YouTube or any major streaming platform. But again, this has been another week of Brews and Cruise, and I want to give one big cheers to Bryant. Have a great week.